Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 371, recorded on August 3rd, 2019. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. This episode is sponsored by Captera. Check them out at captera.com/tios. I am Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from Smile. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing awesome, and it's so great to hang out with you guys.
Yeah, and we also got Adam Christensen from the MacCast.
Who?
Yeah, I know. Adam who?
Finally back.
He's back.
Deal with it.
Yeah, everybody.
It's a party now.
Deal with it, people. He's back. So let's talk about the Apple Card that we don't have yet.
What the heck?
Yeah. So what were we expecting it with the along with the iOS update? Is that the idea?
It's already been. I mean, as far as I know. With the latest update that we just got, I can't remember which one it was, 12.4?
I think it's 12.4.
Mm-hmm.
It's in there. Like, the sign-up stuff is supposedly in there, so...
Right.
It's supposed to be happening any day now.
Yeah, so during the third quarter earnings call, Tim Cook did confirm that they're planning to launch it in August, but he didn't give a specific date. But it's been in testing by, like, thousands of Apple employees... I wouldn't be surprised if it came out on Monday.
Yeah. I guess they had a whole dilemma with, what's the company that's providing the credit card piece of it?
The investment company.
Sachs? Goldman Sachs?
Yes.
Yeah.
Goldman Sachs. Thank you. I don't know why I was blanking on that. Apparently, like, early on, Goldman Sachs, they weren't happy with how the like user experience was on that end at some point.
Weird.
So they like asked them to redo a bunch of stuff, and that maybe added some delay.
That seems like kind of the opposite. Like Apple would have an issue.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I meant. Apple had an issue with how Goldman Sachs had implemented.
Oh, I thought
some
you
of
meant
their
Goldman
stuff.
Sachs had a problem.
Okay. Yeah. That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. They're like, hey, your user experience on this stuff sucks. Like, you need to fix it.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. That tracks.
Yeah, I can accept that this is totally plausible.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that because, while Chase offers a lot of really good features, going in there to just see my latest transactions is a giant pain in the butt. Like, basic daily useful things are such a pain. And
I track almost everything through Apple Pay now because most of my cards will keep a history of Apple Pay transactions that I make. I try and use Apple Pay more and more. So
that's true. I hadn't tried that.
Yeah, it's kind of convenient. It's all in there, but it's not going to be as open and transparent as what the Apple Card stuff is going to be.
Sure.
You know, a lot of people are giving the Apple Card flack because it's not necessarily the best like rewards program, depending upon what kinds of purchases you make. But I think for like people who buy a lot of Apple products and services, it's a good deal, right? So for me,
mm-hmm.
I am buying more and more, especially services through Apple. And the idea of getting like 3% back on that stuff is appealing to me.
I don't know. I think that I think you actually said that you have the Amazon card. I think
I don't, but I've thought about it. Like, it might actually be better because we buy a crud ton of stuff on Amazon,
right,
too.
Right, yeah. Well, because you can get everything on Amazon, and that kind of makes
right.
sense. I'm really more into it because of the experience.
Amazon card makes more sense.
Yeah.
But there's nothing to preclude anybody from having both, right? Like,
sure.
Like, the Amazon card is not going to give you 3% back on your Apple Music account and your iCloud service and your Apple Arcade account and
yeah,
your Apple 3%
Music back
account
on,
and your Apple
on stuff that's inexpensive and only monthly versus it's not that much, but I get what you're saying. And
it's
of
not
course
that much, but it's free money. I mean, I look at it, it's like free money.
Right.
Like,
it's free money
not?
And And, you know, you just want that titanium card, don't you?
Well, there's that.
Although you can't, you're discouraged from using it, right? Because you get more.
You get less.
Yeah, because it'll get scratched, right?
No, you get more.
No, you get less rewards.
Yeah, if you use the physical card.
If you're swiping.
Yeah, so it's
1%. So what you're saying is I need to retire my Apple Barclays card and switch to the new titanium.
Yeah, they actually, they're no longer doing offers with the Barclays card.
So, oh, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. Oh. So,
That being the case, I might as well get rid of the Barclays card and just get the Apple card.
Yeah. According to Mark Gurman at Bloomberg, the Barclays card is no longer offering Apple rewards, such as the $50 worth of Apple Store or iTunes gift cards, new customers, and the 3 points per dollar spent on Apple products. It remains available for now with special financing rates for qualifying Apple purchases, but I don't know. I would imagine maybe because you already have it, it won't be different, but of course they can change if they want.
Oh, they can change stuff anytime they want.
Yeah.
So critical.
I mean, at the end of the day, here's the thing for me too. I'm just not that interested in like managing a bunch of cards, and I don't care that much. Like there's whole people that are like super into getting rewards out of credit cards. And there's like entire websites, like there's a whole like subgenre, subreddit, whatever you want to call it, all about like how to maximize your,
yeah, it's like skimming or something. Points. Not skimming.
It's like, what? What's it called?
I don't think it's called skim. There's some term for it. I forget what it's called.
Yeah, exactly. It has it's like a whole subculture of like these people who are just into.
It's called churning.
Like, it's called what?
Churning.
Yeah. Which is cool. I mean, great. If you're into that, that's awesome. And maybe the Apple card isn't the thing that like works for you. But you know, for me, like I don't care that much about the small percentages back. You know I could probably maximize things more, but whatever. I'm an Apple fan and I want the Apple card. So,
yeah. Yep. Let's see here. So according to Citi Research, they're expecting to see Apple Pencil support on the 2019 iPhones.
We've heard this before.
I don't know that we have heard it much before. I think that more.
Oh, sure, we have.
It's been rumored many, many times.
But I think that more of the rumors have pointed the other direction.
I mean, here's the thing. Why not at this point? Like, fine. If you want to use your Apple Pencil with your phone, great. I don't think I ever would. But I don't see any reason not to let people if they want to.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of volume and technology and that sort of thing. It's not a, I don't think it's a, you know, a delineation sort of issue.
Right. So fine. Okay. We'll accept it.
I totally get what you're saying. And at the same time, I'm just having a hard time wrapping my head around Apple adding Apple Pencil support to the iPhone.
Yeah. I mean, one primary issue you have, okay. So they would be supported on the Apple Pencil 2 because you'd have to add the inductive plate to pair with it, right? Like how would you charge this?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it'd have to be for the original Apple Pencil, and that just seems weird.
What's the current size of the 10S Plus or Max screen?
I don't know.
Is it 6.5?
6.5, yeah.
And aren't we hearing at some point like them making it bigger, like 6.7, 6.8? Like, I think when you start getting that massive, it does kind of make sense that some people might benefit from pencil support. I still absolutely hate phones that are that huge. So not a thing for me, but.
Right.
Okay. So maybe Apple does it just on the plus size iPhone.
Maybe. But I mean, again, who cares at this point? Like, I know Steve Jobs had his whole yuck thing, right? Like, who wants to use a stylus? But I think we're so far past that at this point. I just don't even see it being convenient, though. Like, why put it in there because like what percentage of customers are really going to use it? But you could have the counter argument that, well, then what do you, you know, again, what do you care if like even 0.5% of all iPhone customers want to use an Apple Pencil with their phone? What's the point of not adding the feature if you can?
Yeah, I suppose. But I think, again, it's a matter of can you actually add realistically the feature?
And, well, and I'm guessing with Apple Pencil 1, right? Like they did with the iPad, you know, the low-end iPad.
They could, but at the same time, here's another place I'm having a hard time visualizing. I can't picture Apple adding Apple Pencil 1 support to a brand new iPhone when Apple Pencil 2 is out.
I mean, because the application is probably mostly going to be note-taking, right? It's not going to be necessarily drawing. I mean, sure, there might be some artists who want to draw directly on a large size iPhone, but I imagine the use case for most people with a phone and a stylus is I want to be able to jot down quick notes. There would be a lot of vertical applications. So like you're a claims adjuster, you're on a construction site, you are in some sort of field where you just need to jot down quick notes on like a little note thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any place where you would have a vertical job where you would be using like just a little handheld notepad, right, to take notes on things. Now you can do it on your iPhone. Great.
Yep. I can totally see that. It's just the part that I'm having trouble with right now with Apple Pencil 1 versus 2 is why would Apple go with the old technology for the new phone?
Why do they go with the old technology for the current iPad?
Yeah, I think it's, you could argue that it is just a throw in and you can just say, oh yeah, and if you want to do this, we have that support now. And it's not going to be a huge feature, but like you described, I could see that being big for certain applications.
I mean, honestly, there's nothing wrong with the Apple Pencil 1. Right. It's still a damn good stylus.
Right.
It is. I have one sitting on my desk right now, right next to my Apple Pencil 2.
Yeah. Like, I have an Apple Pencil 2 on my iPad, and really, the experience isn't any different at the end of the day. Like, and most people I know, even some artists, professional artists, don't even, the one kind of big feature was that whole, you know, tap thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of them that disable that feature because it actually triggers accidentally for them and they find it annoying.
Interesting. Okay, I just came up with a valid reason that works for me for going with Apple Pencil 1 versus Apple Pencil 2 for a new iPhone. And it's that I don't see Apple putting the inductive charger into the iPhone.
Right,
which
exactly.
Means that if they're going to use Apple Pencil 2, they now have to sell a dongle that adds inductive charging.
Wait a minute. They don't know.
Maybe I just talked myself into Apple actually doing that because dongle.
No. But I mean, we do know that the next version of iPhone is supposed to have the inductive charger built into it, right?
Well, they currently do. I just don't.
No. I mean, you can charge another iPhone with your iPhone, or you can charge your AirPods with your iPhone.
Yeah, but that would require
you can charge your Apple Pencil with your iPhone.
I'm going to go out on a limb, and I don't think it's a very large limb, and say that the coil geometry for the Apple Pencil is very different from that of a standard AirPod or iPhone.
I would say so, yeah.
So you'd have to have another coil.
Like zone?
You'd have to have another coil for that to work.
Yeah. So again,
are you saying Apple came up with a completely different coil configuration for where the inductor charger is on the new iPads?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's in that small little area on the side, right, where it magnetically attaches. So it's probably more of like an oval shape versus like a straight round shape.
Yes.
Like a very tight oval.
Mm-hmm.
Or almost like a pill shape, I would imagine.
Yeah. Definitely. And I don't think they're going to add that. I think it's perfectly reasonable to, I can totally see Apple saying Apple Pencil One support. You can do it if you want, because it's not going to be a huge like flagship. Oh my God, you can do this now sort of feature.
It also opens up an opportunity for some case manufacturers to make a case thing where you can slide the pencil in, because otherwise it's going to be really inconvenient to carry the pencil around with sure. The pencil's so much bigger than the phone. Although we had heard rumors, are they still saying that they might do like a short version of the pencil that's better matched with the
That would be interesting. Like a half size, like a shorty?
Yep.
Oh, man, I just hate that idea.
I don't like, I never liked those pogo size.
Yeah. But at the same time, Apple has given us multiple sizes of iPhones and iPads, and so maybe they'll go with a shorter Apple Pencil.
I don't think so.
My problem with the shorter styluses is that they don't balance well in my hand. Right. I've never been a fan of those.
I think it's going to be kind of a half-assed sort of like, we can do this now if you want to do it.
Exactly. I think they're going to treat it the same way they treated the original iPad, right?
Yes.
It's like, okay, here's the iPad, you know, 9.7. If you really want to use an Apple Pencil with it, you can use Apple Pencil 1. Go for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was kind of almost like an aside. It wasn't even like a big thing. It was like, yep, now we have pencil support. And I think that's how they'll roll out it on the iPhone too. So I don't put it out of the realm of possibility. I would give it a 50-50 chance, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. Let's see.
So what you're saying is no matter what I do, I'm never going to be able to get away from the Apple Pencil 1.
Yep.
Even though I use my Apple Pencil 2 all the time.
You're stuck with it. Yeah, it's going to be really cool when you have this, you know, you ever charge your pencil with your iPhone?
I did a couple times, like, and it looked even more ridiculous than,
it's like
than
a
when
dagger.
I plug it into an iPad. You know, I felt like I should rename my iPhone StarTAC when I plugged in the pencil.
Yeah, that's very good. I like that. Okay, let's move on to 2020 iPhone rumors, because as it turns out, we've been getting a lot of these 2020 iPhone rumors, and it's been making the current, you know, this year's iPhone seem like it's the meh update in the 2020 update is going to be the big one. So this year is going to be the double S, I suppose.
The double S.
The double S.
It's the S iPhone plus. The iPhone 10s.
But is this supposed to be like the bigger update in terms of like most people upgrading? Like perhaps. I think they're expecting more people to upgrade this in 2019 than did in.
Well, they're not,
or about the same, but the point is like there's not going to be a dip like there usually is.
It doesn't seem like they're going to be giving people as much of a reason this
triple
refresh.
Cams.
So
triple
the
cams, man.
Well, yeah, okay. There's the triple cams, but the 2020
people only
one
care
is,
about photography on their phones these days. Don't
well,
you know
there's
that?
The that's true. The time of flight sensor coming to the 2020 iPhone. So this
is the only nerds care about that. We're talking about the common folk.
Yeah, but Apple is like famous, you know this, for showing the reason for the technology. They're not just going to say, here's technology, it's cool. Mm. They're going to show you what you can do with it.
Sure.
So according to Ming-Chi Kuo, two of the three 2020 iPhones are going to feature 3D sensing, rear camera with time of flight sensors. Of course, all three models, he's expecting to still maintain Face ID, but they're going to use the vertical cavity surface emitting laser, which is able to scan objects up to 15 feet away. So that's going to provide a much more immersive VR situation. You can actually scan objects. You know, the capabilities of this thing are really impressive. And I mm-hmm. think that with what Apple has been focusing on the last few years with VR and that sort of technology, they're going to, I think, come out with some really cool application-based
technology.
You mean AR,
right? Not VR?
Right, yeah.
Okay. Just double checking.
Yes. No, you're going to strap it to your face. Surprise.
Oh, I laugh only because I can see it happening.
Well, you guys
those rumors have been around for a long time that Apple was having some sort of like headset thing that you would, you know, power with an iPhone, either by plugging in, you know, like a lightning cable to a headset with the display, or actually just letting the iPhone be the display that you would slide into a thing.
Let's start a rumor that Apple partnered with ViewMaster. I mean, we already have that. The ViewMaster that you can set a phone in.
Yep.
And do you remember the Motorola rocker?
Ooh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
There you go.
Can you get those on eBay these days?
A rocker? Get anything on eBay, can't you?
That'd be a fun little thing to have around.
Well, hold on. I'm doing a check for you right now.
Okay, thank you.
But yeah, getting back to the time of flight and the cameras, it's all cool stuff. I mean, yeah, and augmented reality is just getting cooler and cooler, and Apple's going to be doing more stuff with it. So,
yeah,
absolutely. Aren't they also expecting that maybe in the 2020 phones, they're going to not have, like, they're going to be able to finally get rid of the notch and stuff?
Yeah, there's been talk of the notch,
like being under the display.
Yeah, either much smaller or disappearing it entirely. I still believe that we're going to see a dual authentication, a dual biometric phone.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
I'm not seeing that happen.
Well, whatever. We don't have to talk about it again. But the they're also going to
talk about it last week. Last episode.
If we did, I forgot.
A couple weeks ago.
Okay. I don't remember what I have.
In addition to this, according to a Twitter person, Ice Universe, who has a good track record with Samsung rumors, he also believes that the 2020 iPhone could feature a ProMotion display from Samsung. So a 60/120 hertz OLED display.
Sounds plausible.
Yeah, absolutely. That's totally Apple's game.
Why not?
Yeah, you can get a rocker for $35.
Yeah, I just found that.
That's not bad. I might just get that because I have, you know, nothing else to spend my money on.
Yeah, the funny thing is,
saving up for some sort of vehicle, use
it, though, as a phone.
I can ride this to work.
What?
Now, I'm pretty sure the frequencies that phone operated on are no longer in use.
God damn!
Right.
Well, I can still slap some wheels on it and ride it to work.
Yes, you can.
As long as it's downhill. Yeah. I like the time of flight. It's cool. It's high tech. And Apple will have some.
It bugs me that we're not even to 20. This always happens, though, and it's always bugged me. I just want to point it out that we're not even to 2019.
You know, I usually
actual phones,
don't
and we have
even,
to start talking about 2020 crap.
Yeah, I know. I usually don't even focus. I don't even address the next year iPhone at this point in the cycle. But I think these are pretty interesting.
And plus, it's Ming-Chi, man. We gotta like give the props.
Yeah, pay respect. Ming-Chi knows what's up.
How is it that he gets props for knowing what's up so often when he has
a terrible
track record?
I don't know, because he's had his name out there for the longest, I think. Who was the
even a broken clock's right twice a day, man. You just gotta keep just guessing.
Who's the guy that was around a while ago who was just constantly like
Guillermo Rambo?
No, he was some analyst. He's doing like Tesla rumors now. But I don't know. Anyway, we should we have more to talk about with Siri recordings being looked at and beta features and all kinds of fun stuff. But first, we have to talk about our sponsor, and we will do that in just a moment. Our sponsor this week is Capterra. Don't let your software search kill those summer vibes. Now you can ditch the office overtime and find options for your business in minutes with Capterra. Read hundreds of thousands of reviews and make finding the right software for your business a breeze at capterra.com/tios. Capterra is the leading free online resource to help you find the best software solution for your business. With over 950,000 reviews of products from real software users, discover everything you need to make an informed decision. Search more than 700 specific categories of software, everything from project management to email marketing to yoga studio management software. No matter what kind of software your business needs, Capterra makes it easy to discover the right solution fast. Join the millions of people who use Capterra each month to find the right tools for their business. And I'm really happy these guys are supporting Tios because I know how hard it is to find the perfect piece of software for your needs. Software I've talked about in the past, like OmniFocus, Sublime Text, and Confluence, were all discovered by word of mouth, but Capterra can help you find what you need even faster than before. Visit capterra.com/tios for free today to find the tools to make an informed software decision for your business. capterra.com/tios. Capterra, that's CAPTERRA.com/tios. We thank them so much for their support of the iOS show. Okay, so with that, let's talk about the Siri, what do they call it? What do they call these optimizers? They have a word for it, but it's a contractor who works for Apple, who has decided to be a whistleblower and talk about how these people...
Well, an employee for the contractor was a whistleblower, right?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And they wanted to point out the fact that contractors working on Siri regularly hear confidential medical information, drug deals, recordings of couples having sex, and other private information.
That's fun.
Yeah.
It's called grading.
Grading, that's right.
Hey, S lady, listen to me, get it on.
Please don't make me again, Jeff.
ouch.
Yeah, so they reported to The Guardian, and they claim that these recordings are accompanied by user data showing location, contact details, and app data.
Yeah, no.
Which,
if that's the case, that's not very anonymous.
No,
but
no.
There's no way. Apple has vehemently denied it, and there's no reason for them to include that data. The only piece of that where I believe that could have that data in there is when they talk about, well, sometimes people are asking for information about their address or they're providing in the audio recordings personally identifiable information. And I'm sure that exists.
Right. Yeah. So the thing that makes me not feel like this is a credible source is they quickly walk it back with a follow-up statement. And it's there's not much vetting of who works here, and the amount of data that we're free to look through seems quite broad. It wouldn't be difficult to identify the person that you're listening to, especially with accidental triggers, addresses, names, and so on.
Right.
So they're implying,
I think that's going on.
That you know, when you know, it's possible you could identify the person if they're saying, you know, I'm so and so, and I want to go here or something like that. So you really
right?
Yeah, but you would you'd have to go off of the recorded audio only, because Apple, the way that they describe these recordings is that they're, you know, even if you said call my wife and it was like, you know, who's your wife, and you told it and you did all these things, and you're thinking, okay, well, with enough of these queries you could build up a thing and actually figure out who this person is. However, each it's described in the Siri white paper, each one of the queries sent to Siri has a specific, a specifically different identifier. They're randomly generated for every query, so they're completely anonymized, and you couldn't do something like that. In addition, it doesn't. The recordings are not accompanied by location data, or addresses, or that sort of thing.
Right. Yeah. This whole thing, you know, again, in my opinion, was completely blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
This is something that Apple has never denied is going on, and they've never deliberately hidden that it's going on. Where Apple had a big failure, though, is that they didn't necessarily directly disclose that, hey, occasionally humans are listening to this. They didn't say that explicitly. And I think that was their only failure in this.
Yeah.
Right. And when I asked about it directly, they would say it. Like if you were reading news stories and stuff in the past, there were several times when they said, yes, we do have humans analyzing this stuff. It's like 1% of the total recordings or something that they get.
Right. Yeah.
So they just needed more direct transparency. It is where they really fell down. And I think they're only really being called out on it because of how aggressive they are about the fact that they, you know, respect their users' privacy and stuff like that. Had they not been in that position, I don't even think this would have been much of a blip in the news cycle.
Yeah, and they're adding in, as part of a future software update, the option to not be included in that 1% of data.
Right. Yeah. That was another thing that happened this week, that they basically, I think they've like suspended the grading program temporarily while they kind of reevaluate it. And then,
you know how I'm interpreting that?
How are you interpreting that?
They suspended the program while they hunt for a new company to work with because they just fired this one.
Maybe that's the case. I just kind of felt like it was a wrong move too, because it kind of feels like them admitting like they were doing something shady when they weren't.
Yeah.
Like it feels like, oh yeah, we were doing something wrong and we're going to like change it. Sorry. I don't even think they needed to go that far. I think they could have just said, you know, we're going to continue doing this because it's what's best for the technology. This is how we make Siri better. And we will add these new features so that people can opt out. I think that's all they had to say. It feels like they almost like sort of admitted that there was something wrong with what they were doing.
I agree. And since I'm just going to roll with my hunches, right? I'm thinking.
No, I think you're right. I think you probably are right.
Yeah, what they could have said is, we have suspended this program while we investigate the company that just started leaking information about our customers.
Right. Well, then they weren't leaking information about the customers either, right? This was just somebody there that was saying, hey, Apple's doing this, and Apple hasn't disclosed to the public that they think it's wrong.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's all it really was. And again, it was nothing that Apple ever hid. So if I was Apple, I would have come out and said, look, we've never hidden this from our customers. It's always been something that we've talked about. Yes, it's not in our policy. We'll revise our policy. And in a future update, we will add an option so you can opt out. End of story. Like, that's all they had to do.
Yeah. And my guess is very few people are going to opt out.
Well, and that's the other thing, is like, there is this debate, should it be opt-in or opt-out?
Sure, yeah.
My guess is they'll do it exactly the way they do the whole thing when you set up a new device.
Yep.
And they ask if you want to share anonymous data about your system, you know, the crashes and all that.
With Apple, right? And but that's opt-in, right?
You have to say yes. And my guess is they'll do the same thing with this.
If they're smart, that's what they will do. Yeah, absolutely. If they do opt out, they're going to get called out again on, oh, you're letting people know.
They could roll it in with that one single opt.
Exactly, I agree.
Out. It's like, share these types of information with us, including Siri, blah, blah, blah. And then,
you know what? I think.
Click and you're done.
I think that's already part of the onboarding process, to be honest. I think
not for Siri though.
I think there is
specifically for the Siri audio data.
I think there is a Siri question. I think they do ask about Siri and diagnostic data. I'm pretty sure on that one. I really feel like I remember that. You know, improve Siri. Do you want to improve Siri sharing anonymous data?
Right, but I think that's an all or nothing thing, right?
Okay.
So meaning Siri AI and this grading that they're doing with humans. And I think that's the thing that everybody's objecting to is like, oh, I didn't know that actually people were listening to this. I thought it was just computers.
Okay.
Which is a little bit naive, and naive in my opinion.
Maybe they're adding a bit more fine grain details.
Yeah, they just need to be more transparent. I mean, it wasn't in the, I mean, because it is stated in the terms and conditions too that they are analyzing the Siri audio data, but they never explicitly say that humans are doing it. And I guess people just assumed it was computers, but why you would assume that, I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Because computers are notoriously actually really bad at this stuff, and you actually need humans.
Well, that's why they're doing it in the first place, because Siri is a computer.
Right.
Oh, now she's listening to me. But yeah, they did talk about a lot of the accidental triggers, especially from Apple Watch.
I trigger mine accidentally on Apple Watch all the time.
Yeah.
No doubt. And just a second ago, before we went to the commercial break, I triggered it in my pocket.
Yeah.
So it happens. Absolutely happens. And that's when the embarrassing stuff, I guess, gets recorded, right? Most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my guess is there's a group of these grading people that are like, oh, God, Michael's recording his show again.
Yeah, I think it happens every show.
This is my dilemma in this thing, though. Like, people saying this is embarrassing. I was really trying to understand, okay, so yes, these people doing the grading are listening to recordings of, you know, let's say two people getting it on, and they're like, ha ha ha, this is really funny.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to share this on, and let's say they even go the step further, which there's no evidence that they've done this, but they go the step further and they like sneak the recording out and they like share it online on YouTube or something like that and comment on it and make fun of these people.
Mm-hmm.
Who is damaged by that? Like, there's no context. You don't know who these people are.
It's the company that's damaged.
Right. But I mean, the allegation is like, this is embarrassing to the people who got recorded and didn't know they got recorded.
Yeah. And they don't know they were recorded. And the likelihood that a recording like that, if it were to ever be put online, would be generic enough, meaning it wouldn't be like someone saying, oh, Mary, who lives at 123 Happy
exactly,
Street.
That's my point.
Oh, baby. Yeah.
That's right. But again, at the same time, I brought this up with my wife when this story broke, and she was like, oh, that's really bad. I wouldn't want that. That would be embarrassing to me. And I'm like, I was really trying to understand it, but I had a hard time getting it. But obviously, it's disturbing to some people. So ultimately, I think, you know, again, the ability to opt out is all we really need here. And it's sort of that ends it. Right?
Yep.
It's disclosure that it's happening and let me opt out. That's all people really want.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so iOS 13 Beta 5 brought a couple fun features with it. So they seeded the fifth beta to developers, and there's also a public beta out there, so I believe that's public beta 4. I guess they're really the two big features are that there's now an option between the more and bigger home screen sizes. So you can choose between 20 and 30 icons on your home screen.
And yeah, it's like old school versus new school.
Right, yeah. So the 30, I believe, would allow you... One of the two would allow you to have the slide over, right?
Yeah, it's the one that has more icons.
Okay, which is kind of counterintuitive.
It's well, the way it felt to me when I was playing with it, it was like, do you want to have the iOS 12 style or the iOS 13 style?
Yeah.
So they really could have called it old style, new style, or something like that.
Sure.
But when you're doing the new style and you slide that that extra view in, the control center or whatever they're calling it, it It works really well, even on an iPad mini. You still have plenty of space for all those icons and all that extra data, and it doesn't feel too crowded.
Nice.
I like it.
All right. That's good. You also get new share sheet favorites. So you can actually have favorites now in there that you specifically talk about the favorite shortcuts, which is nice.
I started playing with the whole share sheets thing after we talked about it last week, mm-hmm. since I had been neglecting it. Holy crap. Why was I neglecting that? That is so cool.
Isn't it great?
It's awesome.
Yeah. So it saves so many clicks. It's really great. And then there's new, there are more volume subdivisions, which is kind of weird to get used to, honestly. You have 34 of them.
If you hold the button down, it feels more fluid as it slides up and down through the volume.
Okay.
If you do it with the previous beta, when you're holding the button down, it feels like the slider kind of goes chunk, chunk, chunk.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it felt more like a a nice visual that made everything feel smoother.
Okay. Well, that's good, I guess. Yeah. I mean, it's all right. I got used to it. It's fine. And iOS 12.4, as we talked about earlier, of course it has, we're pretty sure that it has the Apple Card support. What was not included in the beta is a wireless migration tool. So now you can move from an old iPhone to a new iPhone wirelessly.
That's really nice.
Really cool. You can actually do it wired as well. So it's a peer-to-peer migration feature. You're probably going to do it wirelessly, but if you want, you can. I guess Apple has support for the Lightning to camera connection kit. So you use that and then another lightning cable. So then you can do a faster wired transfer.
Cool.
But, you know, that's great. Because honestly, the steps that I go through to update to a new iPhone are, you know, first you have to do an encrypted backup to your computer. And, you know, then move it all over. And if nobody's going to do that. No normal person's going to do that. They're going to do it through iCloud and then they're going to miss some things. And, you know, I think this is going to help everybody. I think it's going to help the Genius Bar. I think it's just going to be a much nicer experience overall. Then in WatchOS 5.3, which recently came out, they fixed the walkie-talkie bug and added ECG support for Canada and Singapore. HomeKit and AirPlay 2 is rolling out to 2019 LG TVs, the thin Q TVs. And I've played a little bit with my apartment complex has like these brand new Samsungs littered all over the place. And so I've been trying to use them. Unfortunately, they have them on a different wireless network, like an internal network, on a different subnet.
California is so weird.
And
it's like e-scooters scattered everywhere, television scattered everywhere.
Yeah. Well,
like technology falls from the sky.
Yeah. The thing that really kind of bummed me out is usually with, AirPlay, even if you're not on the right network on an Apple TV, you can still discover it and it'll do like Bluetooth discoverability and, you know, magic, and you'll, you know, type the four number pin and then it just works. And it doesn't work that way on the Samsung TVs, unfortunately. Yeah, let me know, listeners, if you've had better experience with that, with the Magic Discovery, but I feel like it's not included with those. And finally, Apple TV Channels now offers CBS All Access.
That's funny, because that just wasn't there after they had shown it off. I was confused by it completely.
Mm-hmm. How do you mean?
So they had shown it off as one of the services that was going to be available with Apple TV Channels, and then it just wasn't there.
Oh,
like when it launched.
Okay,
it was like, wait a minute, why can't I? It was like on their slide when they announced it.
That's funny.
And it's like, oh.
Hmm.
And they never really said what happened, so.
Gotcha. Yep, well, it's there now. I'm sure
that this means they finally got around to sorting out the details in the contract.
Yeah, exactly. And then that's the rumor as to what happened was like, it wasn't quite ready to launch, but they announced it anyway.
You needed Patrick Stewart's signature as well.
That sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so with that, let's move on to our picks, and I'll let Adam go first.
All right, man. So my pick is a new app from the folks at PCalc.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, PCalc Dice, or Dice by PCalc. So for all you D&D nerds out there.
Oh, my.
Yep. It's like a virtual set of dice. You can create like your own sets. You can roll at disadvantage or advantage if you're in your D&D thing. You can re-roll stuff. You can add modifiers to the dice, either up or down. You can change the style of them. There's a bunch of advanced features where you can go in and you can have it speak the dice. You can get moon gravity if you want to have your dice just like what it would be like to roll your dice on the moon. You know, in typical sort of PCalc fashion, there's all kinds of like settings and controls, but it uses, you know, physics-based simulations, so you can, you know, shake your phone to roll the dice, you can flick the dice, you can just tap button to roll the dice. And it has all of your favorite die, your four-sided, your six, your eight, your 10, your 12, your 20, your percentile dice. And like I said, you can create your own sets that you can save off and everything like that. It's $1.99, and it's just kind of fun.
Nice.
So it'll give you your totals. It will give you subtotals by, you know, the type of dice, all that sort of stuff.
Very good.
Go get your dice on.
All right. Adam, or Jeff, rather. What do you got?
I totally get why you called me Adam, because
he just...
Adam's been here for every show lately.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so my pick is an app for people that want to do recording, say like podcasting on their iPhone, and it's called Backpack. And it's made by the people that used to make Boss Jock. And so it's like this whole mixing board, plus it can do live streaming and it'll record. So you can do a whole show with your bumpers and everything live and then still have a recording when you're done and do it all from your iPhone or iPad. And it's like $10.
What is it called?
That's cool.
Backpack.
Backpack.
Maybe Backpack Studio, but the name that you'll see on your iOS device is Backpack.
Formerly Boss Jock?
Boss Jock, yeah.
Cool. That's awesome. All right, so my pick, I think I'm going to go with Lockdown. So Lockdown is an app that just came out. It's an open source app. So it's an open source firewall, I should say, that lets people block things like, you know, crypto mining or Facebook subdomains, marketing scripts, email openings.
iOS?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it works through VPN. And so you just turn it on. It's free. And so the open source nature of it, I believe, is what allows you to... It provides the recommended block lists. So, yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's called Lockdown. It's free. And I've played with it a little bit.
How does that work?
How do you mean?
I guess I just don't understand. So, I... get the app, I activate it on my iOS device.
Yep.
Is it just like with sandboxing and all that stuff? I guess I'm confused about how that
It uses the iOS VPN feature.
Gotcha.
Ah. And you said you can use this in conjunction with whatever VPN you already have?
I haven't tested that.
Or does it have to replace it?
I don't know. It seemed like I accidentally turned on ExpressVPN at the same time. And it seemed to be okay with that, but I didn't actually test it. I would imagine if the routes don't conflict, it's probably fine. I don't know.
Still, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it turns out the...
So this is from the CEO that developed Duet Display.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, check it out.
And a former iCloud engineer. Okay, that's cool.
All right.
Huh. That's cool.
All right. So with that, you can find all of our picks and the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show on iTunes. Give us some stars. Tell a friend. You can send your questions, comments, and feedback to feedback@theiosshow.com. Our sponsor this week is Capterra. Check them out, capterra.com/tios. All of our advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen's at the Maccast, maccast.com, and at Maccast on Twitter. Thanks for hanging out with us today, Adam.
Yep, you're welcome.
And Jeff Gamet is at Smile, smilesoftware.com, and at jgamet on Twitter. Thanks for being with us, Jeff.
It's always lots of fun.
And I am at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And with that, we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An iPod. An iPod. Internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus.